KA2 VLA, this is KD2 AIT. Copy, Clint. KA2 VLA, this is KD2 AIT. Do you copy?
Just got in the room. I'll be on in a minute.
Roger that.
Good evening. This is KA2 VLA, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Clint. Our repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville and Jackson Hill. This being an informal net, all interested parties are welcome to check in, with or without traffic. I will now break for any emergency traffic. Hearing no emergency traffic, all mobiles wishing to check in, come now, please. I will also receive calls from other members and guests. Please call KA2VLA.
Says KD2AIT. Good evening, Clint. Says Whiskey 2. Sierra Mike Mike, please.
KA2ZZ. Hi, Clint.
WV2RUQ.
There's five check-ins in a hurry. That's good response. Must be the rain sort of woke up everybody. We got sort of lost in that warm weather. We'll open up to KB2, AIT, John. Yes.
Good evening, Clint. It's KD2, AIT. We're up here at camp. It's warming up, actually. It was 55 before. It's 56 now. It's humid out. No rain or anything, but it's pleasant outside anyway. Anyway, we're just hanging out up here at camp. We're doing a little grouse hunting for the weekend, and we'll see what else comes along. Kind of quiet up here. There's nobody up here except me. None of the other camps are occupied right now, and most of the leaves, well, I'd say about 50 to 60% of the leaves are down right now. So, all right, we'll turn it back to you. KA2 VLA, this is KD2 AIT.
Good report, Jeff. Having a nice weekend in camp. You can't beat that with a stick. Well, let's see. The next car is WA2U. I'm not sure if that was Jack or not.
I think that was W2SMM there, Sierra Mike Mike.
I don't have the full copy, so why don't you go ahead and give us a report.
Whiskey 2, Sierra Mike Mike. No, I've talked to you in the past. This is Scott in New Hartford. Just figured I'd call in and give you some numbers. Right down here, it's raining, and it's 59. And hopefully the weekend gets better. Whiskey 2, Sierra Mike Mike, back to that.
Important, right? Too bad to have the rain, but things got pretty dry over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm sure it's helping old Mother Earth out a little bit. Now have a good weekend in camp. Now, Jack, KA2ZNZ, give us a report.
Hey, good evening, Clint, and everybody aboard. Well, not too bad down this way. It was 62 degrees. We've had we didn't have any rain through the day today at all. But it's been all around us, been south of us for the most part. And south and east, actually. So I don't have much more to offer. Just hope everybody has a good weekend. And 7-3's all around. KA2 Adams, back to you, Clint.
good report, Jack. You're always ready with a good report. Now, we'll run out and see what John has for us. WB2RUQ. What's new?
Yeah, KA2VLA, WB2RUQ. Good evening, Clint. Currently here in the valley named after Henry Hudson, it is 67 degrees. We've got a light rain going on out here. And we just got back from a couple weeks in Florida. And we made it back Wednesday night. And now I'm kind of recuperating from the travel, but it was a good trip down in St. Augustine, right on the East Coast. And now it's time to take care of some of the lawn and start getting ready for winter. So that's it here, Clint. WB2RUQ.
Good report, John. Glad you had a good trip to Florida. We haven't gone down in 3 or 4 years. I made 19 trips down after I retired, and I got tired of driving from New York to Florida. It's easy to sit in New York and watch the world go by. So thanks for the report tonight. This is the Black River Valley Service Net looking for check-ins. Anybody wants to visit, call now. Does anyone have comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Hearing none, I would now close the Black River Valley Service Net. Return the frequency to regular amateur use. I want to thank everyone who checked in tonight, and 73 to those who are listening. This is KA2VLA, and I'll be clear.
KD2AIT, KD2AIT, WB2RUQ.
This is KD2AIT, what's up?
Oh, not much. So I take it you're in for the weekend hunting. And we still got, our leaves are coming down here, but we still got quite a bit of foliage. And I was looking earlier at some clips from out west there in South Dakota. They're getting hit pretty good with snow. So, other than that, we're just trying to work down 2 weeks, actually 17 days worth of mail, snail mail, get all that stuff done. So that's keeping me occupied. All right, back to you, W2RUQ.
Yeah, most of the trees up on the tops there, all the leaves are gone. You know, they're still there in the center and down below that, but a good windstorm will probably knock most of them out of there. Did a little bit of grouse hunting today, but not much. It was so wet. I don't think they're really moving around. Usually you see one or two, you know, fly out in front of you here when you walk up and down the road, but today nothing was really moving. So I don't know if I've never really done much grouse hunting, so I don't know if they bed down when it's wet or not, I don't know. But tomorrow I plan on going up and sitting at my spot for the bear hunting, and then I plan on taking a long walk after lunch up there, back up again up there by the Lions camp, and then back, and then down my road, and see if I see anything. That's a good, let's see, it's 2.5 miles from, it's from here to the Lions camp, from my camp to Lions camp, it's probably about 3.5 miles, maybe more. So yeah, that'd be about a 7 mile hike, so hopefully I'll see flush out one or two between here and there.
Ah, okay. So I take it you bought a 20 gauge, right?
Roger, I got a Mossberg 20 gauge pump, and we'll see how that works out. It's so thick up in here that right now, though, it's really hard. I mean, the uniform flies out in front of me. I mean, you're going to have to be right ready, right there. You're only going to have a second or two before it'll be too late to take the shot. It's going to be hard, but it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. And so far the gun seems nice, but I haven't even fired it yet. So I'll probably, first shot I'll probably miss.
Ah, okay. Where did you pick that up?
Well, I shopped around for it for a bit. It's a Mossberg 500, which is their basic model, which is what I figured I would start with anyway, because who knows how long I want to grouse hunt. I went to, I went to Herb's, and then I went up to Gander Mountain, and then I went over to Dick's, and Dick's had the lowest price on it by about almost $70, so it was a big difference. So I picked it up there at Dick's. I had, I guess because of the government slowdown, there was a big delay in the NICS check. It took about 26 hours before they finally gave me the proceed on it, but anyway, I got it, and I haven't fired it yet, but it seems to be a pretty decent gun.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, good. Well, enjoy yourself. And enjoy the woods up there while the weather is reasonably decent. So that's about it from here, Jeff. I'll turn it over to you for your final, and I think I'm going to call it an evening. Okay. WBQ-REQ.
All right. Well, it's going to be a hot one, at least from for a hunting point of view anyway. It's supposed to be in the 70s and upper 70s with the humidity, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's really not ideal hunting weather, if you ask me, and especially if you're going to be hiking 6 or 7 miles. But we'll see what happens. All right. Well, you have a good night there, and good luck catching up on the paperwork. And we'll catch up with you later. WB2RUQ, this is KD2AIT.
KC2WI.
KC2WI, this is KD2AIT. What's up?
I was just looking at my email. I got an email from Dan about about the Elks walk-a-thon, and that he wasn't going to be there. And I saw him the other day, and I gather from the discussion I don't know what discussion, but anyway, I gather that we never really were asked, and the last couple of years we haven't had people, so I just thought about this. I didn't know if anybody was on the net tonight, but I'm assuming that Dick and nobody's planning to do it. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
I have not heard anything one way or the other on that. I know I can't do it, so but I haven't heard anything other than what you sent me by email.
Yeah, I suspect that Dick hasn't sent anything out, and he would be the one, or Dan, and Dan told me that there was never an official request, and I know the last couple years we haven't really done it. We've dwindled down to so few people that I think 2 years ago Dan and Dick were the only two there. So it would be nice to put a good showing for the thing, but I suspect nobody's really around for it. You know, it's not like it's a fast-paced thing. They got people driving around in the cars, and they got cell phones, so. And it's only a handful of people that do it, so I guess it's not a big deal. I'm just trying to find out if maybe, there was any interest, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. I don't know. My time's usually all eaten up way in advance, so when it comes to things like that, the problem is I just don't have the time, and when I do get a little bit of time, I kind of hog it up for myself and want to do something up at camp, and maybe that's a little selfish, I guess, but I just don't, I'm working all the time, so when I do get a little bit of downtime, this is usually where I end up.
I had to do the same thing with going home. You know, that's why the place is a mess and I'm way behind, but I do the, you know, there's 2 or 3 things. We do the Woodsman's and the TEP and the Sunday. That's probably more important. That's a big out depending on the weather, but I was talking with somebody today. I'm saying, you know, they were saying today really wasn't that bad of a day. It was rainy, but it was warm. It was, you know, comfortable enough outside. But, you know, who knows the weekend? I said, oh, I know. It's going to be crummy Sunday, because almost always for that, seems like almost always for this town and country, it's, I mean, we've had it where it's been darn close to snowing. Occasionally you get a good day, but usually it's pretty cold, so really the turnout for that depends a lot on the weather. Actually, it's pretty good considering. Sometimes it's been pretty good turnout considering how bad the weather is. So, yeah, I'm not going to... I might come down there, do some work down there tomorrow, but I guess I'm not going to worry about it. I really wasn't planning to worry about trying to be there for the thing. We used to have, you know, 7-8 people, and it was really nice and low-key and had a nice lunch afterwards and all that, but we just, we're losing participation.
I agree. I just, you know, for me, it's more of a fact that it's just a long time in my my life to be, I'm not available for anything. Much less club stuff. It's usually family stuff, business stuff, or the occasional getaway up here and you know, get some hunting and some camp stuff done. I just don't have any free time. I don't have free time for a lot of different things. So, it wouldn't hurt to get a few more members in the club to do things like that.
I mean, I've tried that up here in Louisville area, and, you know, we've tried to, some publicity, and Joanne's tried some things, and we just, you know, between the fact that people are busy, and the fact that you don't need a license for your cell phone or your computer, you know, you don't, there's no effort required, no study required. You can buy one of those things, and you know, you still probably ought to learn something, but you don't have to. And I don't know what all else. I'm not sure why. You think there are? I just keep thinking there's got to be some people around, whether they're young, old, doesn't matter, that are, you know, that this is just a natural for sort of fooling around techie stuff. That's something out of the ordinary, but. If there are, you know, I'm just never reaching them with any kind of a article in the paper or anything. And but you just would think, out of the whole population, I mean, one or two, you know, wouldn't expect a ton of them. But there's got to be people out there that like to tinker around more with, let's say, electronics than mechanics or whatever, and not necessarily just computers. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, you got to wait for the next big disaster when the cell phone towers don't work and the internet doesn't work. Then they'll see what's left.
Well, you know, nobody's hoping for any kind of a disaster, but I'll tell you, you know, I wasn't here for the big ice storm, it really wasn't too bad here, I guess. But once you get a little bit more north, up in St. Lawrence and parts of Jefferson and St. Lawrence, and emergency management people, I think, especially in St. Lawrence, remember that. Plus, they've got the counties that border Canada get more money, you know, from Homeland Security and that too. But that's faded into memory, I guess, for most people. But you're right. And you don't know, you know, you don't know how bad it would be and how much systems may have improved or may not, and how important the communications part of it would be versus having a generator or this, that, and the other thing. But it wouldn't take that much to put it back in the public spotlight. You read, like, the comments on eham.net or whatever, you know, they'll post these the different articles, and then people make these comments about, you know, just really making fun of the emergency communications people, like they're just, you know, they're not needed anymore, and, you know, it's just people that want to look important with their orange vests and stuff. And there's some of that, I'm sure, in some places that, you know, people who just maybe have unimportant jobs anywhere else or whatever it is, they you know. But to me, it's a game. I mean, the emergency communication stuff is sort of, you know, it's a hobby and it's a game, and it's fun to plan for, you know, operating off the grid and all that stuff. And so what if it never happens? It's no different than trying to chase rare DX. So, I mean, who cares if you talk to 200 countries, you know?
Well, I can tell you the one thing that got me to get my license is just because my camp was in such a remote spot, there really wasn't much of a chance of getting through on a cell phone or anything like that. I don't know if that's going to be an appeal to a lot of people, but there is like a movement to, I don't know what you call it, a disconnected movement to get off the internet and to get off away from TV and media. And I think the, you know, amateur radio might fill a void in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, I was in Walmart today, and I think I passed the same person twice, and she's talking to herself, you know? I mean, there's no one else around, and if you look closely, she's got one of those little, probably Bluetooth thingies, you know, and her cell phone was in her pocket or something, and she's just talking on the phone. And, you know, without having one that she's obviously got held up to her ears, and you see people walking around with their phone stuck to their ear while they're in the store and whatever all the time. And it's kind of funny because, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago or even now, if you're a ham, you take your HT and you're walking around Walmart talking on a handheld, people look at you kind of funny. Well, you know, why? What's the difference between that and a cell phone? You're talking to somebody, you know. And then we were doing that in the, you know, 70s and 80s. You could walk around a store or parking lot or, you know, sit at the diner or whatever it is and be yakking away. And, you know, you kind of got the feeling that non-hams and even some hams, nobody does that.
Roger. Every once in a while, I'll be standing in line in a store or something, and somebody in front of me will be talking to themselves, and I'll have to look around each ear to make sure they don't have that Bluetooth device stuck in there. Otherwise, you're wondering if there's some kind of weirdo in front of you. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that people don't think they need until they need it, and then all of a sudden, it'll probably, you know, come back into, you know, in vogue again, and then, after a while, it'll slip out again, but it'll happen. I mean, I don't want it to happen. I don't want it to be a disaster, but that's when it's going to, you know, that's when it's going to pick up again.
Well, it's really nice to have it at camp, you know. It's kind of nicer in a way, and, you know, the cell phone might be a little more useful because you can call a specific number, you know, and if they're not there, you can leave a message, and if all else fails, you can call 911, but whereas with the repeater, if nobody's listening, well, you're kind of out of luck. In the old days, that's why we had auto patches, one reason. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, well, you can talk to your friends and keep in touch with what's going on. I never got there this summer, but when I was up in the Moose River Plain, I don't know if it's this microphone button is... must be loose. I'll press it harder because I've heard the radio's clicked off a couple times. You know, I put my 703, hooked the 703 up and threw the wire up in the 15 feet up in a tree branch. And, you know, I was talking with people and decided to stay another night. And I got one of the people on the carrier net, I think up in Saranac Lake, I think, or Tupper. And she says, yeah, I'll call your dad. So she called my father and says, oh, he's in the Moose River Plains, you know. And when I got home, then she came back and she said, yep, I thought, oh, we had a nice little chat, you know. So it is kind of nice for that kind of stuff. You know, you can usually, if it was a real emergency, you probably could get some person somewhere on some frequency, you know, if you use the, you know, the real words, this is an emergency. Somebody would answer you. You'd break into a QSO, which normally you wouldn't do. So it is pretty good.
That's the main reason why I got my license in the first place. Like I said, up here at camp, I can squeeze out some text and occasionally get some internet access. And I got a cell phone booster up here where if I'm sitting here at the desk at camp, I can plug it into the cradle there and I can actually get enough of a signal to get a message out. But that's not going to do you much good, you know, during the daytime. It doesn't work very well. And sometimes when you're up here, if you're out in the woods hiking, you know, it's not going to work, you know, 50% of the time. So I keep my little handheld with me in my backpack when I'm hunting. And if I know that, you know, should something happen or if I come across an emergency, I can get through. And I know that, you know, somebody's listening, you know, to the 655. And if I do come in with an emergency, somebody's going to answer at some point.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have it on, and sometimes I never turn, I totally forget to turn the radio on, you know, I turn them off at night. And sometimes when I'm here, I turn them on, and sometimes I'm on this repeater, sometimes I'm on Mileville. I got a radio in the front and one in the back, so if I think of it, I'll leave one on one and one on the other. Ray's listening during the day if he's not at the auction or something, you can get him sometimes, but we ought to sort of get some of the other folks around and say, hey, you know, leave your radio on. It's not like it's that busy, it's going to interrupt you, but it's really a good idea to have people monitor. Well, anyway, I'm going to quit here, I guess, but I'm playing catch up now that we got rainy weather, and I got my portable garage roof up. I got that up so that I could put stuff in there and it's dry inside. That was the big thing I was bound and determined to do yesterday. I was so bound and determined to do it that I lost track of the fact that it was Thursday and not Wednesday, and that yesterday was the simulated emergency test. And I came in about 7:30 and, you know, did a few things, and then I looked at the clock and I said, it's almost time for the Lewis County Roundtable. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, it's Thursday, and I should have been in at 6 o'clock for the HFNet. I missed the whole thing. I was just, like, off by a day, so. But I got that job done, which I wanted to do before it got damp, and I'm really happy about that. So, anyway, well, we'll talk to you later, and I'll be down there Sunday, I guess. KC2WI.
Okay, Pete. All right. Well, you have a good evening there, and we'll catch up with you later. It's KD2AIT, clear.
Just a quick note. Adirondack's International Speedway is open on Sunday for the first time in 4 years. We're gonna have a race there. Should be a good time.
Jeez, I hope somebody mowed the grass over there. Last time I drove by, there was a field.
Yeah, we're racing this weekend.
Oh, keep that noted. I'm going to be up here at camp all weekend, but it's nice to know that they're back open.
They're hoping to be open next year, but you know, this is the only race that's going to be this year.
Roger that. Thanks for the info there, Ray.
Well, that's good economic news. I've only went to one big race that they had there, that some NASCAR thing, I don't know, and it was fun, but it'd be nice to get that going again.
KC2MBU, are you still listening? This is KD2AIT.
KC2NBU, this is KD2AIT.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Head the volume down.
I remember that battery you were showing me there, the one in the RV, the AGM battery. What information can you tell me about that big one you had there?
It's made by the Lifetime Battery Company. It's one of the... I like the gel cells because you can use them indoors, you can charge them indoors, you don't have to worry about battery acid and explosive hydrogen gas vapors and having to add water and all that crap that you have to do with a regular battery. The downside is they're big bucks.
I remember you saying they were about $500 a piece, those big ones you had. I think that's what you said. But how many amp hours do they hold?
I think there are 240 amp hours at the 20-hour rate each.
Okay, I'm trying to figure that out. Because right now, I think the ones I have here are 185 amp hour batteries. I got two of them. So I guess they hold a little more, but... Do the AGMs last longer?
It depends. I actually took them out because they're 5 years old, and I couldn't bring myself to spend $1,000 on a new set of batteries when I could get the ones, probably the same ones you have. They're about 200 amp hours. They're NAPA. School bus batteries, truck batteries, and they were under $200 a piece. I don't remember exactly what they were, but they were under $200 a piece, so it was less than half the money. And again, the lead acid batteries, you can charge them at 14.5 volts and they don't care. On the other hand, you don't want to go over 14 volts on a AGM. And if you put it into a charging system that consistently charges it at over 14, you're going to shorten the life greatly, which probably is part of the problem. Mine only lasted 5 years. I got the solar panels turned down to 13.6. But you really can't adjust the charging system of the van, and it charges at 14.6.
Okay. Yeah, you got me wondering about that. That's right. Up here, I don't have to worry about that. I just have the solar panels, and they usually shut off. I mean, the highest I've ever seen them here reporting back were 13.4. I just think it would be easier to have one battery instead of two, but... I hear you. You do get more out of the cheaper batteries as far as amp hour reserve. And you're saying 5 years. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking I was going to get out of these. You know, 4 or 5 years. And mine, they're X-side batteries. I'm thinking it was somewhere around $135, $140, somewhere in there for each one. I was hoping that you would say that, you know, they lasted 10 years or so.
In my plow truck, my Jeep. But the problem with the gel cells, the ATM, is you can't let them go dead. If you let them go dead once, it damages the battery. You let them go dead two or three times, and the batteries are history.
KB2KOJ.
Go ahead, Mark.
Can I, sorry to break in here, can I do a call up here for Akon?
Sure thing.
Okay, thank you. This is KB2KOJ for Akon, the United County Traffic and Emergency Net, being held on the 145.17. Are there any stations with or without traffic?
KD2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
KD2AIT, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, very good. We have KC2NBU, right? KD2AIT, Jeff. Thank you both for checking in. Do appreciate it. Are there any other stations for Octet?
Oh, by the way, we're on emergency power.
Yeah, that's not until tomorrow night, Jeff.
Oh, sorry about that.
Of course, we'll ask you if you are or you aren't. So, well, it is the national SETs is the 5th and the 6th of October. Since Octane is part of the national traffic system, we are required to do it the first weekend in October. Of course, the counties have until from October 1st until, can do it from October 1st to the end of November, so. Alrighty, are there any other stations for Octet with or without traffic? The SET is tomorrow night, the 5th and the 6th. Final call for Octet.
If you like, we can actually put this repeater, the Boonville repeater, on emergency power for the weekend, too, if you want.
Yeah, I don't know what that replies to the repeaters doing that. I don't know what that replies. I have to ask Jack on that one, Ray.
Okay, just take a quick trip up the hill to do it.
I don't think that's really necessary, I don't think. I think all we require is just the stations checking in for emergency power or so on. I think it's just required stations. If you want to do it, that's fine. But I don't think that's required that it is, so. But I'll check. I'll make a final call here for Act-10 for stations with or without traffic. Okay, nothing else heard, and I want to thank Ray, KC2NBU, and Jeff, and KD2AIT for checking in. And I'll turn it back to you, Jeff, and sorry to break in, but thanks for letting me in here. Do appreciate it, and I'll turn it back to you and let you two carry on. So, over to you, Jeff, and 73 to you, and 73 Ray. KD2KOJ, go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, Mark, you have a good evening, and no problem on the break-in. Well, I don't have a problem with the batteries, you know, getting charged all the way down here. You know, the panels are always on, and the inverter will turn off once the battery voltage gets down to, I think it's 11.1 volts. So, you know, and it is really, I mean, the solar panels have to fall off the side of the can before that would happen.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think my battery's steady. I just bought two brand new ones 2 months ago. And I think you're right. I think you're like $133, $138 a piece. And I just couldn't ignore the price difference.
Okay, well, I'm always looking for an edge on that. I think it's great. The guys up here at the other camp, I just kind of introduced them to a couple of those LED lights. My uncle set me up a small box of them, and I gave him a little strip of them. And, they've been running on gas lights down there for the last, the camp came up, was built right after the war there, so, you know, for a long time. And they were amazed at how bright they were. I said, yeah, that's free, you know, except for the batteries. You got to buy the batteries, but I mean, the energy itself is free. And, you don't have to spend all that money on running gas lights, and they were just shocked about how bright they were. And so I'm always looking on how I can improve the battery system here. And right now the whole place is lit up, and I don't generally even have a problem up here as far as keeping the batteries charged, but I'd always like to increase supply whenever I can.
Well, something you should know is when you do buy batteries, you should buy two identical batteries if you're going to use more than one of the same age. You can't buy one this year and then add one to the next year and put them in parallel because they age differently, and one battery will fail sooner because they're not matched.
Roger, that's what I understand. Matter of fact, they say you should buy them both at the exact same time, the exact same place, with the exact same lot number and everything, so you can get them as identical as possible. That's what I did with these. Right now, I don't think I'll ever have a need for any more than two, maybe one more. Maybe next time when these, you know, another 2 or 3 years when these die out, maybe I'll get an extra battery if I have the extra money to do it. I don't need it. Even if the power does, you know, at some point ever does run out here, I do have a generator, a small one, that I can charge it all back up with.
Yeah, another thing I did is when I bought these is I bought a box of acid, an extra quart of acid, and I went through with the, before I even charged them, I went through with the bulb, a syringe, and made all the battery acid levels identical to the full fill point. Again, they fill them really, really quick at the factory, and not two cells were exactly the same. And needless to say, eventually that's going to catch up with you, and you're going to have unbalanced cells and unbalanced charging. Especially once you start adding distilled water.
Yeah, I've never even opened them up, to be honest with you. Just sitting there. I mean, they get such a low charge from the solar panels. I'm not really worried about them charging, you know, overcharging and gassing them out with the charge. But I am worried about evaporation. I just know so very little about batteries that I just didn't want to even poke around with them because I just, you know, I'm ignorant as far as how they work. So, that was one, you know, plus about having the AGM batteries. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but you pay the price. And pound for pound, the lead acid batteries hold more amp hours. Size-wise and pound-wise.
Well, that's good to know. That's definitely good to know. Well, I'm definitely, I think I've kind of reached, you know, how much storage I need up here. Like I said, I've never run out. The one time last winter when I was on one battery, I kind of ran out towards the end of one weekend when I was up here, and it had snowed the whole weekend. Then I had the second battery. I haven't had a problem, but I do have a generator up here, just in case, one of those little Harbor Freight ones, but I haven't had a problem. All right, well, thanks for the information on that, Ray. Don't want to hold you up there. This is KD2AIT. I'll be clearing your final.
When you do check your electrolyte level, you're going to want to use distilled water only. And you're going to want to make sure that you do not overfill it. You don't want to fill it up to a level higher than it started out being, which is why you should, you know, top them off when they're new so that you're starting at the same level and you know what the level is supposed to be.
Roger, you told me that before, and the only problem with that is I never checked the one I got, so I have no idea what's supposed to be in there.
Okay, well, you should look at them soon, and don't overfill them, because it will shorten the battery life.
Roger, will do before the snow flies anyway. All right, Ray, thanks for information there. KC2MBU, this is KD2AIT.